We just look to the Lord, please. Our Father, we do indeed thank you for your wonderful Son, that you in an eternity past looked upon us in our need and you made a provision. And the provision is that you would give your only begotten Son that we might have life. And not just any life, but a life eternal. And not just an eternal life, but an eternal life with you. A home prepared, a Savior. Oh, Father, how much we owe to you. That which cost us nothing cost you dearly. And we're now here as recipients of just such a wonderful grace, mercy, and love. It's hard for us to say thank you enough. And so as we open your word and try to meditate a little bit on it, we pray again it would come from your heart to ours. And again, we can't thank you enough for that wonderful name, the name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. And we thank you in his precious name. Amen. I'm not really quite sure I can exactly explain it. For some reason, you know, I have no problem reading my Bible. I just open it up to Genesis, to whatever book I'm reading, and I read it. But when it goes beyond that, I sometimes ignore it. And I just happened to look one day, and I happened to look at the back, and I noticed that there is a concordance, okay. But there was also something that I didn't expect, and that is that there is a alphabetical listing of all the proper names that are listed in the Bible. Gives not only the reference as to where you can find them, but also their meaning. There's something about a name, to be honest with you. I can't answer for everybody, but names have a meaning, a wonderful meaning. Sometimes they're characteristic of the person that it belongs to. In our culture, if your last name was Smith, there's probably a pretty good chance that you were a blacksmith somewhere back in your genealogy. My name? Oh, my name from Benedictus. I wonder where that name came from. Well, Benedictine monks from back in the eons. And so eventually my name became Bennett. And I'm sure that some of your names have somewhat of a similar meaning, only in a different sense. But the one thing I do know is that names mean something, and God is not capricious. He just doesn't do things on a willy-nilly basis. If there happens to be a name in Scripture, there's a good reason for it. A couple of things that I have often wondered is why God changed names like Abraham to Abraham, from Saul to Paul, from Hadassah to Esther, and there are several others. But God doesn't, again, do things by chance. He has a purpose and a reason for it. One of the things that I've kind of was curious about, and if you would, turn over to Exodus. Chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and they say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall ask me, What is his name? Well, what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, it's kind of interesting. I look at I am, and I often want to add something at the very end of it. Like, I am Craig Bennett, or I am Clifford Smith. I am Mercy. And it's kind of interesting, at least in my case, that it just says, I am. But how wonderful it is that when we stop and think about it, there is a culmination in it. It took a couple thousand years, but eventually, St. Augustine, I think, said it best when he said that the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed, the Old Testament in the New Testament revealed. So some of the things that we read about in the Old Testament, though they may seem kind of maybe not having a great understanding yet, they're revealed in the New Testament in some way. But I'm getting a little bit off track. One thing that I do want to try to mention is that if we really looked at Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, we're going to find out that there's over 300 times in which I am is referred to God or Christ in some way. God has a number of different names, and every single one of them has a different characteristic, something that is, something of a definition of who he is. And for the past month or so, we've had the wonderful privilege of looking not only at his characteristics, his attributes, but those things which are also shared with us. But this much I do know, and that each one of them has a purpose and a reason for revealing who God truly is. I was kind of curious too, because throughout the Old Testament, we get God in various other kinds of references as to what his nature and his character is. We get Jehovah Nissi, which is my banner. Kind of reminds me of what that portion is in Song of Solomon. I think it's chapter 2. He invited me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. How interesting. We have Jehovah Jireh, that is, God will see. We have Jehovah Shalom, God is peace. Jehovah Shammah, God is there. Jehovah Shittekin, our righteousness. We also hear that he is everlasting strength, and he's my everlasting song. So we see that some of these characteristics are things, Father, which kind of almost tug at the heart. And yet here we are wondering, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And seven times in the book of John, we get I am in reference to Jesus Christ. Probably some of you know them by heart. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I am the resurrection and the life. And the list can go on. There are several others. But if we were to turn over to that portion in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken us unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You want to know why I am as in the Old Testament? Because eventually it was going to picture in various characteristics who God really is, his nature, his character, his attributes. And Jesus Christ is the embodiment of it all. I really wish I could name all the times in the various hymn books that the name of Jesus is brought out. One of the things I've kind of noticed is that every time we pray, how do we end the prayer? In the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Something that's a little bit uncharacteristic is I've noticed quite a few brothers when after they've spoken up, may his name be glorified. No, it's not about us, it's about him. The one to whom God delighted in, the God, one who wanted to manifest himself to his creation and in some way place his name upon us. And whether you realize it or not, Christian, that name Christian means Christ-like. To be like Christ, to be like Jesus. And a long time ago, it's been a while, I used to have a little band that says, "What would Jesus do?" As always a reminder that I represent him to a dying world down here. And somehow or another, that little band reminds me that whether it be word or deed, or even in thought, I am here to represent him. God, though, again, this is probably going to be more trite, and I'm going to say it over and over again, that God delighted in his son so much that he wanted to populate heaven with people just like him. You and I are on a journey to be just like him, and yet here we are. Our goal is to make much of the name of Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. I love some of the hymns that have his name in there in some way, because again, it's another reminder that God sent his own Son into this world to redeem somebody like me. And if we were to turn over to that particular portion in Philippians, we all know it, Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That which didn't cost us anything cost God dearly, because it cost him his dear Son. And how wonderful it is to know that every time we pray and we invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, God takes it personally. He looks at you and looks at me, and when we invoke that wonderful name, no, it's not a magic bullet. No, it's not a magic slogan where everything that we ask is something that we're going to get. But it does mean that we revere the very one to whom God delighted in. He's placed his name upon us. For we don't belong to each other. We don't belong to me. I don't belong to myself. I have been bought with a price, not of silver, not of gold. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm no longer my own. I think we need to take that more seriously than maybe what we do. But the one thing I do know is this, that I am here to represent the very one who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, as I was going through what it is that's on God's heart, for it's been my prayer that it wouldn't be just something from my own education or my own understanding or anything that I've learned, but rather that which would come from the heart of God, and that would be something that would be something for us. To be able to go from his heart to your heart through me. And I found myself all but at a loss to know how I would be able to do it adequately. There was a song back in number of years ago, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name, like the fragrance after a rain. Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. There's something about that name. I've misquoted it, but you know, maybe you can get the hint. You know, you and I have the wonderful privilege of having that name in a personal way, not something for which is just a name, but rather that we can say that he's something far more than a name. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my friend. He is God. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He is my good friend. He is my shepherd. And all the other little characteristics of I am are all embodied in the name of Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. And so as we're here tonight, we're going to invoke that name after the end of every prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. And it's going to be heard at the very throne of which he is at the right hand of God the Father, ever interceding for us, ever making us a personal matter. Yes, he may be God, and he may be Savior of millions upon billions of people. But when you invoke that wonderful name, he takes you personally. He understands you personally. He knows your needs personally. He knows what problems you have personally. He knows everything about you. All you have to do is go to the 139th Psalm and you'll find out that there's nothing, absolutely 100% nothing that he doesn't know about you. And lest I forget, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. And you can take that for whatever you think, but I think of my life, and I think of my life began at 12 years old. And he's guaranteed that he's going to take me to glory one day. Now, when that will be, I really don't know, but this much I do know. that just as he is the beginning, he is the end. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega. And if we want to go through all the various characteristics and attributes that we've been going over for the last month, we're going to see that every single one of them tell us of his nature, his character, his attributes, his person, and his work. And all of it was for sinners such as you and I. And if that shouldn't make us rejoice, and if that shouldn't make us smile and remember what a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, well, might his name be adored. Oh, I just trust that throughout, whether it be tonight or tomorrow or however long the Lord allows us to be here, that we would remember that that name is Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, and we owe it all to him.